The area was cordoned off by the army, and for good measure they'd sealed the airspace, so, damn it, there'd be no helicopter shots. As of yet, no one had claimed responsibility, but for good measure he gave the names of three radical groups as the usual suspects. "Could be one of these, could be someone else," he said helpfully. With no carnage to film, the camera was forced to stay with the reporter, and since he had nothing to say, he prattled on about how dangerous the Middle East had become, as if this were breaking news and he was there to report it. Lufkin called around 8 p.m., D.C. time, to tell Teddy that the American ambassador to Egypt could not be located, and they were beginning to fear he might be in the rubble. At least, that was the word on the street. While talking to Lufkin on the phone, Teddy watched the muted reporter. A Lake Terror ad appeared on another screen. It showed the rubble, the carnage, the bodies, the radicals from some other attack. Then the smooth but earnest voice of Aaron Lake promising revenge. How perfect the timing, Teddy thought. An aide woke Teddy at midnight with lemon tea and a vegetable sandwich. As he so often did, he'd napped in his wheelchair. The wall of TV screens alive with images but no sound. When the aide left, he pushed a button and listened. The sun was well up in Cairo. The ambassador had not been found, and it was now being assumed he was somewhere in the rubble. Teddy had never met the ambassador to Egypt, an absolute unknown anyway, who was now being idolized by the chattering reporters as a great American. His death didn't particularly bother Teddy, though it would increase the criticism of the CIA. It would also add gravity to the attack, which in the scheme of things would benefit Aaron Lake. 61 bodies had been recovered so far. The Egyptian authorities were blaming Yadal, the likeliest of suspects, because his little army had bombed three Western embassies in the past 16 months, and because he was openly calling for war against the United States. The current CIA dossier on Yadal gave him 30 soldiers and an annual budget of around $5 million, almost all originating from Libya and Saudi Arabia. But to the press, the leak suggested an army of 1,000 with unlimited funds with which to terrorize innocent Americans. The Israelis knew what Yadal had for breakfast and where he ate it. They could have taken him out a dozen times, but so far he'd kept his little war away from them. As long as he killed Americans and Westerners, the Israelis really didn't care. It was to their benefit for the West to loathe the Islamic radicals. Teddy ate slowly, then napped some more. Lufkin called before noon, Cairo time, with the news that the bodies of the ambassador and his wife had been found. The count was now at 84. All but 11 were Americans. The cameras caught up with Aaron Lake outside a plant in Marietta, Georgia, shaking hands in the dark as the shift changed, and when asked about events in Cairo, he said, 16 months ago, these same criminals bombed two of our embassies, killing 30 Americans, and we've done nothing to stop them. They're operating with impunity because we lack the commitment to fight. When I'm president, we'll declare war on these terrorists and stop the killing. The tough talk was contagious, and as America woke up to the terrible news in Cairo, the country was also treated to a brash chorus of threats and ultimatums from the other 7 candidates. Even the more passive among them now sounded like gunslingers.